Good morning, and welcome to the trading update for the 3 months ended in 31st of May 2015 conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. And today, I am pleased to present Neil Catto, Chief Financial Officer. Please begin your meeting, sir.
Thank you, Paola. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our first quarter trading update call. Just for clarity, we'll be talking today about the quarter ended 31st of May 2015. I'm joined by Mahmood Kamani and Carol Kane, our joint CEOs, on the call. And I'd like to take you briefly through our trading performance for the quarter before opening up the call for any questions you might have for Mahmood, Carol and I. You can see in the statement our sales for the 3 months ended 31st of May 2015 were £41.3 million, and that was a 35% year-on-year increase, or 37% on a constant exchange rate basis. Our gross profit margin was maintained above 60%, despite continued foreign currency headwinds, most notably in the euro region. That was particularly pleasing as at the same time we've been able to make significant investments in price internationally in markets where we sell in euros and dollar currencies, and also in our delivery offering in the UK. So that strengthening of the Boohoo proposition is reflected in our active customer base, and that's grown to 3.3 million in the year to 31st of May 2015. That's an increase of 32% over the previous year. So overall, we've seen a really good response to our marketing campaigns through the first 3 months of the spring-summer season. And although it's clearly early days and peak trading still ahead, but we're pleased with the start to the year. Looking at the results by geographical segment, UK sales for the quarter were £26.3 million, up 27% year on year. And that's against a strong comp of 44% growth in last year's first quarter. We've seen an acceleration in growth from the 13% reported when we spoke to you in March about the final 2 months of our last financial year. That acceleration's been driven by an increase in marketing spend and the launch of the We Are Us campaign. We'd said before that we'd seen a really good response to that campaign, and that response continued through the remainder of the quarter. So in the UK, we're pleased with the bounce back that we've shown and the speed with which we've regained momentum in our largest market. Although I would say that the comps do get tougher in the second quarter. Outside of the UK, we've executed our strategy to concentrate on fewer key markets. In Europe, we've seen good growth against some really strong currency headwinds. Sales in Europe grew 27% year on year in sterling terms, and that was 45% on a constant exchange rate basis. We're expecting these headwinds to continue through the next couple of quarters. When you look at the euro sterling chart, you can see that the euro weakened the most last year in the fourth quarter of the calendar year. Our strategy is also working really well in the rest of the world region, where we've seen a continued acceleration of growth to 66% year on year in the quarter. And that was 70% on a constant currency basis. That number's again against very soft comparatives in Q1 last year, and they toughen into Q2 and also into the second half of the year. Moving on to gross profit, the gross profit margin for the quarter was 60.6%. Whilst we've maintained the gross margin at over 60%, we have seen some margin pressure in some areas. In the UK, we've seen a good response to delivery offers, and while that's enabled us to maintain average selling prices for product, it's impacted our gross profit margin by approximately 80 basis points during the quarter. We've also invested in price internationally. We've talked before about the positive results we've seen in Australia and the USA, and we've extended those price investments into some European markets. These investments in our core proposition have impacted the margin relative to the same period of last year by approximately 240 basis points. But what we are seeing is benefits in terms of lower customer acquisition costs, more items being added to baskets, and increased order frequency. So our approach for the rest of the year is going to be to continue to invest in our customer proposition and customer acquisition. So in terms of outlook for the rest of the year, We've said in the release that we're comfortable that we're trading in line with our management's expectations. Maintaining growth and momentum is our priority. As I said before, we will consider continued investment in the customer proposition where we see an opportunity. Now, that could mean a lower EBITDA margin, but we are comfortable with the expectations in absolute terms. I also just wanted to touch briefly on the progress of our operational programs. There's two main things to note here. Firstly, we expect to be using the new warehouse extension in July, and so that's all on track. And the other main thing to note is that the mobile app that Mahmood promised you when we last spoke to you last month, that's in testing and it's on track for release in the near future. So I think that's everything I wanted to cover on the call. So I'd like to open it up for questions now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing 0 and then 2 to cancel. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 followed by the 1. There will now be a brief pause while your questions are being registered. And the first question comes from the line of Grace Javieras from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. I do have two or three questions, if I may. The first one on the gross margin. Can you tell us what the gross margin, given that you give it for this quarter, but I haven't seen it for the previous quarter, so unless I'm missing it completely, can you tell us what the deterioration of the gross margin has been in the first quarter year-on-year? And then, Neil, you were very kind to mention that 80 basis points of that was the delivery offer. Any other quantification versus the overall deterioration will be helpful. That's the first one. And the second one on Australia, and whether you can make any comment on how the market is doing there. I presume that the rest of the world performance has come on the back of a stronger Australia. And lastly, on share buybacks, you had mentioned in the past that you will be doing up to 10%. You then revised that to, well, not as much, but you haven't given a specific target. Do you have any more thoughts there? Thank you. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Neil?
I can be heard. That's what matters.
To answer a question, please make sure that your telephone line is not muted.
You can, operator, you can completely hear me, right? So the problem is not on my side, is it?
Yes, I can hear you. Neil, the line for Neil, Carol and Mahmood, please make sure you're not on mute.
Hi there, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank
okay.
you.
Sorry. All right, thanks for the questions, Chris. So the first question was about the gross margin. The gross margin for the first quarter is 60.6%, and that's down 240 basis points compared to last year's Q1. But it's up on the Q4 margin. I think that was the question, is how does it compare to the fourth quarter? The fourth quarter, we've not previously published a number for that, but it was 58.6%. So we've seen an improvement in the margin relative to the fourth quarter.
Neil, on the 240 basis points, the year-on-year deterioration, you mentioned that 80 basis points is because of the delivery offer.
Yeah.
How much of more free delivery offers? How much is due to geographical mix, if any, and how much due to international pricing investment?
So the main factor there is the international pricing investment, and that's 140 basis points of the 240 basis points decrease. And then we've got a small amount of around just less than 20 basis points around the UK product margin.
Excellent.
And the second question was about Australia, how that's performing. We've seen, I mean, really it's been a continuation of the turnaround in Australia that we've seen throughout the whole second half. And, you know, we've maintained our growth there and slightly increased it during the quarter.
No, that's true.
And then the third question was the share buyback. So we have said previously we were seeking authority to buy back up to 10% of the shares, but we have no plans at the moment to actually implement a buyback program. We're currently considering our capital expenditure programs going forward, and that timing is going to coincide with us seeking authority at the AGM, but we won't know anything until after the AGM as to what our plans are, and therefore there's no fixed plans at the moment.
Very helpful. If I may, last one, EBITDA margin, do you abide by your 10% guidance, because you mentioned the absolute level of EBITDA, but you said that this may mean lower margin. Do we have any new guidance on the EBITDA margin?
We don't have any new guidance. I mean, what we're saying at the moment is that we want to invest in momentum and growth are our priorities, and making sure the customer proposition's right. So as we've had a good quarter in terms of sales. We're going to reinvest any gains that we've made in driving the top line. So that's our main priority. That could lead to a lower EBITDA margin, as if we invest in customer acquisition, that can impact the EBITDA margin in the short term.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
The following question comes from John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Brilliant, thanks. Morning, guys. Couple of questions from me as well, please. Can you give a little bit more information around your sort of core KPIs, conversion, basket frequency? You mentioned them in the intro, but maybe just a little bit more detail. Second question is just actually looking ahead to autumn winter. I wonder if you can comment on how marketing plans will differ this year around, not thinking of the sort of specifics of the campaign itself, but maybe more in terms of the timing and how you're going to deploy the marketing. And if I can get a third one in, just looking at the sort of everything thrown in, that mix of marketing, free delivery and everything else, I mean, historically you've had a net contribution margin in the sort of mid to high 20s. Is that sort of still where the business is operating at the moment?
Okay, thanks, John. So in terms of the core KPIs, we're not disclosing too much at this time, but what I can say is that the conversion rates continue to be strong. We naturally see a dip in the first quarter of the year when we increase the marketing spend and drive traffic, and we've grown market share there. But we're pleased with the conversion rates on the website. Very strong, I think, compared to anybody else in the market. In terms of basket sizes, we've seen increases there, and there's a natural decrease in the overall basket value for the business as we've invested in price internationally. So our international selling prices are down quite significantly, so that impacts your basket value. But we've seen, as I said before, we've seen some benefits in other KPIs, so cost of acquisition has been lower on the back of the price investments, and also order frequencies improved as well.
Okay.
So as far as the autumn winter campaigns are concerned, and again, it's been kind of the theme for the call today, that we're going to continue to invest in making sure that we keep the momentum in the business going. So that's going to be the main difference to what happened last year going into the second half, and we're going to be making sure that we press the button on the marketing campaigns for autumn winter at the right time this year.
Okay, fine, brilliant. Just in terms of the net contribution margin, are we still sort of knocking around the sort of mid to high 20s?
Yes, we are.
Excellent, fantastic. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Kate Calvert at Investec. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning, everyone. Two questions on the UK, please. The first is, have you seen any weather effect in the quarter? Because obviously the BRC was talking about weaker clothing sales in May. And the second question is, in terms of the investment in the UK proposition, obviously you've talked about investing in delivery. Have you done anything else different? Have you had to invest in any price points, or are you still very comfortable with your pricing in the UK?
Okay, thanks, Kate. In terms of the weather, we've not noticed any negative impact in May at all, and we've had a good month in May, and we were anniversarying quite a very strong month last May, so we've been pleased with the results in May, and we had a particularly strong finish to the month as well. In investments in delivery, we have made, and it's been mainly around in the UK, promotion on express delivery or next day delivery. In terms of average selling prices in the UK, those are slightly down on last year, but not majorly. So we've not had to invest in price or work on price points as much in the first quarter. So the average selling prices coming down in the UK has very much slowed in the first quarter.
Great, thanks so much.
The next question comes from David Reynolds from Jefferies. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning, yeah. Two questions from me, please. The first one, I just wondered if you could expand on your execution of your international strategy. You outline in your statement a concentration on fewer key markets in Q1. I just wondered if you could add a bit of colour around that in terms of, you know, which markets have been particularly positive in the quarter and perhaps which ones you've de-emphasised somewhat.
Thanks, David. We're not really talking about specific results by country, but what we have seen is we have marketing campaigns in less countries in Europe than we did this time last year, and what we've done is we focused on those key geographies, and we've seen good results there from the marketing campaigns. We've de-emphasised in certain countries, such as Germany, but we've continued to see good year-on-year growth figures in other countries, albeit from a small base. But the pleasing thing about that is it's with a more effective marketing spend or a much reduced marketing spend. So the key markets are the same as we've spoken about before on different calls. So in the Europe we've got Ireland and France, and in the rest of the world, Australia and the USA, and all of those key markets are performing well. But we're also seeing good performances in some of the markets that have been de-emphasised.
That's great, thank you. And on the mobile thing, obviously we've got, you know, an abiding memory of Mahmoud's famous shitometer in terms of the mobile offer. Could you just maybe outline, you know, how important you perceive your mobile ambitions to be, and maybe just a little bit more detail in terms of what you're delivering, when, does it come into the UK first and then get rolled out to other geographies? Just explain a little more, perhaps, if you can, with regard to, you know, what's going to happen in terms of the mobile offer over the next two quarters, say.
Yeah. So mobile is really important to us. You know, in the last couple of months, 50% of our visitors have been from mobile handheld devices, and we've made some improvements already by implementing the responsive website. So we've seen our conversion increase since September, and also we've seen more and more visitors come through mobile and handheld devices. So the next phase would be to implement the mobile app that Mahmoud did speak about last month, and as I said on the call, that's in development and ready for release. That will be on our main platform, and that will impact the UK initially, is the main market there, but some other European markets, and then we're also rolling out a mobile app for the other territories in the next few months.
That's great, thanks Neil.
The following question comes from Anjali Shah from Stifel. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning. Can you give us a sense for how we should think about the gross margin for the full year, given the price investments that you're making, and what kind of shape we can expect in the gross margin over the course of the year? Thank you.
Okay. I think we're comfortable with the expectation out there on gross margin generally around 60%. But I'll put a caveat on that, that we do price very dynamically, and we've seen some very good responses around around price decreases internationally in certain territories. So we're not going to get hung up on a gross margin at the expense of being able to leverage our marketing investments more effectively. But the overall shape for the year is that in the second quarter, we'd expect a marginally lower gross margin than the first quarter, and then a higher gross margin in the third quarter, and then a marginally lower in the margin in the fourth quarter as we go through the sale periods. But the key point is there's a definite interreaction between our gross margin as a percentage of sales and our marketing costs as a percentage of sales, and we want to be able to make sure we get the optimum position on that throughout the year, and that might mean that we're able to reduce the marketing costs as a percentage of sales, but also reduce the gross margin.
Okay, great, thank you.
The next question comes from Alistair Davis from Investec. Please go ahead. Alistair, your line is open. Please ask your question.
Sorry, I had the mute button on, wasn't thinking. Just thinking, following on from the last question, price investments through the year, kind of as you annualise Australia rebasing, is it really more that any gross margin declines might be more through the delivery offers?
I think that's very true, yeah. That what you've got in terms of the year-on-year margin decline, that should reduce as we go through the year, because there was definitely in the second half of last year was when the price decreases internationally took shape.
Okay, and actually just kind of thinking just your last comments, what do you think is kind of driving people a bit more to convert? Is it when you ramp up marketing spend, or is it when you launch the promotions such as free or $1.99 next day delivery?
It's both, really. The marketing spend drives traffic, and the express delivery promotions drive the conversion rate primarily. But what you see is that people coming do visit several times before they buy sometimes, and therefore you get a kind of a virtuous circle where both work together and increase the momentum generally.
Okay, cheers.
The next question comes from Matthew McEachran from N+1 Singer. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just one question for me, actually, and it's in relation to your wholesale trials. Just wondering whether or not, you know, with the product now live on, you know, third-party platforms, whether you've got any commentary to give us or feedback in terms of the initial trading performance, and in particular, just any reassurance, if you like, that the pricing mechanisms that the third-party businesses will use will not be out of kilter with your own sort of seasonal promotional cycles.
Okay, thanks, Matthew. What we've done so far has been very limited, insignificant in the scheme of things, but we've been encouraged as to the results on that basis. So we'll be doing more in the next few periods, but still early days. It's a trial that's successful so far, and that's all we can say. But as far as pricing is concerned, then we'll be making sure that, particularly in the UK, the pricing will, and our key markets, the pricing will be the same as we operate on our website. And obviously there'll be some leeway around promotions on top of that, but it's no more than what we would exercise on our own website as well.
Yeah, okay. And in relation to, you know, stock fulfillment and deliveries and so forth, I mean, you're operating to quite short lead times, but, is that working to plan? Is there anything that we need to consider in terms of, putting in place some new options on that?
Around the wholesale business.
I mean, in terms of making deliveries to the third-party customers, yeah.
It's not a problem. We're just treating it as a very separate business internally, and that's the key thing there, is that it shouldn't be any distraction from the core business. And that's all worked quite well so far.
Okay, super. Thanks very much.
The next question is a follow-up question from Grace Averas from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, sorry for another question. In terms of your investments versus volume growth, can you give us some color on what is the relationship there? I mean, is every percentage of price investment, does every percentage of price investment create a higher volume growth percentage? Any color there will be massively appreciated.
So it's not quite that straightforward. I mean, what you do see is that as you make price investments, you do get increases in volume, but that's mainly resulting from an increase in conversion rate on the website. So the real benefit is around how much contribution you're getting per visitor on the website. It's difficult to express that, and it varies widely across different geographical markets. So you can't really say for X pence decrease in the selling price, you get an uplift of Y. But what we have seen is that in areas where you get the pricing right, your conversion rate can increase significantly by 30 to 40%.
30 to 40% conversion. Okay. So that is helpful. Would you be willing to say how much your price investment is? Is it like mid single digits or low double digits or low single digits? Any color there?
It's varied a lot by territory, and obviously you've not got much of an idea of the mix, but in some territories we've decreased the prices by 20%, in some 15%.
Excellent. Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press 0 followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad now. There appear to be no further questions registered, so I will return the conference back to you.
Okay, thanks very much, everybody. If there's no further questions, I'll call the call to a close. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.